KXSW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. At least 19 people were killed overnight in rural Mississippi after a powerful tornado and strong thunderstorms powered through the area. Sharkey County was hit hardest. At least 13 people died there. This man told ABC how he and his family barely made it to safety.
We tried to get ourselves into the middle part of the house, and we did, and we got in there, and obviously it was coming right behind us because as soon as we got in there, we heard a big boom.
Meanwhile, two people were killed. Nine others are missing after an explosion at a chocolate plant in West Reading, Pennsylvania. Cause of the blast is under investigation. President Biden, concluding his trip to Canada, confirmed he ordered an airstrike on Iranian-backed militants in Syria in retaliation for a strike on a coalition base Thursday that killed a U.S. contractor and injured six others. San Diego State beat Alabama in the NCAA tournament, and after Miami beat Houston, it means for the first time ever, no number one seeds are among the tournament's final eight teams. This is ABC News. The Los Angeles Unified School District, second largest in the nation, reached a deal on pay increases and other benefits for school support staff after a three-day strike. Weeks of rain and snow in California mean some water restrictions are being lifted.
The last 3 weeks here in California may have been the wettest ever. It's up for debate, if not the wettest, the most since the 1800s. And while Governor Gavin Newsom says work still needs to be done to replenish groundwater after so many years of drought, that all this rain allows emergency drought rules restricting things like watering grass to be loosened.
We are eliminating the mandate of mandates, what was referred to as level two. Drought application of the 450 or so water agencies in the state of California.
He also announced local water agencies and farmers will now get much more from state water supplies. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The FDA is proposing a new rule that would allow salt substitutes, thought to be more heart-friendly, to be used in a greater number of foods. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, Go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. At least 19 people were killed overnight in rural Mississippi after a powerful tornado and strong thunderstorms powered through the area.
No, instead of waiting on a good day, waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen, I just said,
listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers. Today's show is sponsored by Group Health Cooperative of South Central Wisconsin, a nonprofit, member-owned health plan providing high-quality health care and health insurance services to over 85,000 members in South Central Wisconsin.
What do you think is important for our state representatives to understand about the experience of being a family caregiver? And what aspects of the governor's budget do you think need to be considered to help us and our care recipients? Let us know by emailing empoweredcaregivercommunity@gmail.com. And remember, these asks are important to consider even on a larger federal level, too. If you're listening outside of Wisconsin, this is still relevant for you, too. Take this time to educate yourself on what steps can actually be taken through legislation to help family caregivers and the people we are taking care of.
There are nearly 600,000 family caregivers in the state of Wisconsin. According to the Wisconsin Survival Coalition, 80% of the care for children and adults with disabilities and older adults come from unpaid family caregivers. 4 out of 5 have been caregivers for at least 5 years, and 8 out of 10 foresee continuing their caregiving duties for the
Recording
next
in progress.
30 years. Well, there's some job security nobody asked for.
That's
right?
The truth. As you read that, I was thinking, wow, 30 years, that is what's on my horizon.
Right.
But tonight we are going to be talking with LaTanya Johnson, who is a state senator for the 6th District, which is the Milwaukee area. LaTanya is a veteran politician with a lengthy resume and a long history of supporting Wisconsin families. Thank you, LaTanya, for your service. We will also be joined by Jenna Jacobson, a freshman legislator from Oregon who serves the 43rd District.
Lastly, we will be joined by registered dietitian Erin DeGrave, who works with all Wisconsin Hy-Vee stores. And I think that is just amazing that a grocery store chain has an in-house dietitian to support their customers. And I cannot wait to learn more about the services and what she has to offer to support family caregivers.
Exactly. But let's start with Senator LaTanya Johnson. Hello, LaTanya. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We know why we wanted you to come on our show, but can you tell listeners why you wanted to take the time to talk about caregiver issues? What are your constituents telling you? And do you actually have a personal caregiving experience?
Well, thank you for having me. The one reason that I feel that this is so important is because we know that so many individuals out there are either caring for family members or in the future will have someone caring for them. And making sure that we have a strong workforce available to service all of these individuals is extremely important. My grandfather had Alzheimer's and my grandmother was his primary caretaker. And I remember, you know, going to my grandmother's house to give her a break, just to give her an opportunity to go to the grocery store or go to the mall. And our conversations, she would always say, you know, I feel like whenever I'm out, I have to hurry up and rush back, that she always had to be in the house. Mm-hmm. And even for me, you know, being her break or her respite, it still wasn't enough. My grandmother was basically doing it on her own with just a few family members. When we went to my grandfather's funeral after he died, we took him back to Tennessee to be buried. I noticed that my grandmother, she was always a fashionable diva, packed a suit that she wouldn't typically wear. It was just out of the ordinary. And I knew she had better clothes at the house. And then when we had conversations, I started to realize that she was repeating herself more often. Mm. She was forgetting more things. And I had a conversation with my aunts that I thought maybe she was in the beginning stages of Alzheimer's. Fast forward maybe a month or two later, nothing changed, but I noticed that my grandmother was extremely, extremely thin. Mm. She was probably about 80 pounds when I took her to the doctor. So I had to search for one of her medicine containers to find out who her doctor was. And I made an appointment. And I remember my grandmother saying, well, my Aunt Jean always took her to her doctor appointments. And I said, well, Mama Jean's busy. I'm going to take you to the doctor today. And when I got there and I had a conversation with the doctor, I'm like, do you see how small she is? Do you think that this is healthy? And why didn't you intervene? And he said it was a double-edged sword, that my grandmother was still at a point where she was cognizant mm-hmm. of her surroundings and who she was. He didn't feel that she was ready for a nursing home, and my family wasn't doing anything bad to her. She was losing weight because she was forgetting to eat.
Right.
They would cook for her, put it in the stove, and she wouldn't remember to eat. So I had to go over there like 3 times a day just to make sure that, you know, she ate. One of my aunts moved next door. I had another aunt that lived upstairs, and together we provided the wraparound services that she needed while she was at home. And so I know the challenges of being a caregiver firsthand.
Yes, you do.
Especially when you don't know where the resources are.
Right. Mm. Exactly. And I think it's just very poignant that you pointed out, too, that the doctors see it as a double-edged sword, right? Because we're actually working with an organization, GWAR, to talk about, because they're really addressing that as people are living longer, as patients, the doctors in the medical system has to also bring in the family caregiver, too, because lots of times they are their eyes and ears, right? The patient might still be cognizant enough to not be placed somewhere, but that doesn't mean that they don't need that type of support. So thank you for sharing that story.
Yes. And you know, LaTanya, since you are experienced in your role, we thought that we would challenge you a little bit. Since being a caregiver is typically seen as a familial duty, like you said, your whole family was, you know, in on taking care of your grandmother, I feel that it can sometimes be difficult to see the value or the importance in addressing caregiving at the legislative level. So I would like to walk through this just a little bit. And, you know, if you're not, if the family caregivers aren't there, right, to care for these recipients, whether it be aging parents or those with disability, what happens? I mean, I would guess that most likely a lot of these people would end out on the streets, like in developing countries or in very costly institutions, which are potentially inhumane. So can you explain to those that might not see why this is a big deal, why supporting family caregivers matters and the ripple effect that it has?
First of all, providing care for your family at home is cost-saving measures for the state. Mm-hmm. Those are dollars that we don't have to pay out. And it's extremely cheaper for us, for the state, if those family members are taken care of at home, because nursing homes are extremely expensive. Not to mention, there's a shortage of quality nursing homes out there. And for so many of us who have been caretakers, we know what it's like to try and get your family into a quality nursing home. And a lot of times they say, well, we don't have a bed available for that particular diagnosis. Now, that can either be one of two things. That can either be true, or it can be them saying that if your family member is on Medicaid, because no facility can discriminate because they're on Medicaid, but they can't find ways to not accept them because the Medicaid rates are so low. And so that's one of the things that I always, always talk about, especially on joint finance, when we're talking about the funding for a lot of our long-term care facilities and issues and projects, is that it saves people money. And not only that, as a legislature, we all know that we're one phone call away from, you know, having to take care of that family member or either needing care ourselves. So we need to make sure that those services are in place. We hear all the time from people that there is a shortage of caregivers, right, to provide services to keep people in the home. First of all, the rates are too low. Second of all, there's, you know, there's a shortage of workers all around. So we have to take that into account. And that's another thing that helps extremely, it's extremely important when we're determining how much money to put in the budget, especially for wages. We have people come out in full force talking about the need to make sure that we pay competitively for that field, because if you can go to Walmart and, you know, make $17 an hour, why would you choose to be a caregiver if you're working in the private market? Because it's such a skilled position. Even for those family members taking care of their relatives, it's still a skilled position that requires patience. And when you are caring for your caregiver at home, there is no first, second, third shift. You're it. And so that's also important for us to recognize.
Well, and I appreciate some of the points that you were bringing up there. They hit very close to home. My daughter is an adult, and she has epilepsy, autism, and an intellectual disability. She needs 24/7 care. And I tell people sometimes money isn't always the issue. It's actually finding people who want to do this work. And when I was speaking with her special education teacher, she said, right, I'm taking with my paraprofessionals, some of your daughter and her fellow students over on field trips for jobs. Qdoba is now paying $19 as a starting wage. This is not to diss Qdoba or Walmart or any of those entry-level positions, right? It's just that, as you pointed out, why would somebody take the job of being a paraprofessional or being a paid caregiver when they can be making money at a different job that isn't going to necessarily take that kind of physical and emotional demand that caregiving can? And then I think it's also important to look at, I've had to remove myself from the workforce because I cannot continue to be a full-time teacher and a full-time family caregiver. And so now, by taking me out, there's a ripple effect, right? If we don't support me, we don't support Nicole. Now we end up having people that have less income, so they're not going to be spending as much. They're not contributing into, you know, 401ks or Social Security. And so there just tends to be a much larger domino or ripple effect when we aren't looking at this from the bigger picture, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just am curious, what do you think out of the governor's budget would really make the biggest difference in supporting family caregivers?
So I would have to say the $17 million he put in the budget for aging and disability resource centers and expanding that to every single county, because that's so important, because for those family members, they need to know where the resources are. They need to have that centralized place where they can call and get the information that they need. The one thing I realized is that, you know, memory care centers aren't always memory care centers. They'll use the logo and the name, but not actually be able to provide the services. So knowing that is important.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to be talking to freshman legislator Jenna Jacobson, and we're going to ask the senator to give her some advice.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives.
I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Cloudy skies expected today with a chance for snow changing to rain. High temperatures reach up to 38. Northerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight lows dip down to about 25. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow daytime highs approaching 43. 1 to 3 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 31.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
KRadio.com.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we're going to continue our discussion on the legislative actions being taken in our state that impact family caregivers and care recipients. Before we have Jenna Jacobson from Oregon, who is the legislator from the 43rd District, join us, we just have one final question for LaTanya Johnson.
Yep, exactly. Yes. Well, and I was talking with them off air about how I'm a former social studies teacher. And so this is a question that I'm excited to hear what your advice is too, because we've got this opportunity to have a veteran legislator and a freshman legislator. And we know that the state budget isn't just about caregiver needs. There are hundreds of issues being addressed. So, Senator, what advice do you give to these freshman legislators when there's so many issues fighting for the same dollar?
I would say know those issues that you most want to advocate for. Stories always help. You can grab someone's attention by telling a story, whether it's a story from something that you've heard on the campaign trail or whatever, that always grabs their attention. Always look for commonalities. Look for reasons to listen to people on those committees to find out where you guys can agree on. And then after you find out that you have places where you agree, go to that person for help with passing legislation. But never, ever, ever, ever give up. You're there to fight for people who, you know, don't have the privilege of being an elected official. So you're their only voice. And as long as you remember that, as long as you're really fighting for those issues that are most important to your district, even if you hear a no, that will give you the energy to keep coming back with those issues over and over and over again. Never give up and never allow yourself to be tired of doing something that, you know, you're just blessed to do. I tell myself that every day, that no matter how many times I'm told no, no matter how many times I get defeated, if I can wake up tomorrow, it's a new day and a new opportunity for me to start all over.
That's beautiful.
Thank you so much. That is wonderful advice. And thank you so much for taking your time this evening to be with us.
Yes, we really appreciate your wisdom. So yes. Thanks.
Thank you,
Senator. Thank you.
Hi, Jenna. Thank you. We're going to start by asking you the same question we asked LaTanya Johnson. We know why we want you on the show, but can you tell us why you felt it was important to be on a show that talks about caregiver issues?
Yeah, well, I guess first, thank you for having me. I think it's important to talk about caregiver issues because So a little bit about my background, my mother was a pastor. And so growing up, we were, that role in of itself is caring for caregivers essentially, and seeing the stories of people in our home church that were caring for family and friends and siblings, and how we didn't talk about that very much. You know, it was just something you did, but it was kind of siloed off, and people were just taking care of their family members. And there wasn't that elevating of this very real thing that is going to touch just about every Wisconsinite's life at some point. And so I feel like that in and of itself makes it an important issue that we should be talking more about. And then when we looked at some of the needs that we've been hearing about, caregivers have been sharing with me, and just more collectively speaking about, I think it's a conversation that we need to be amplifying as we go forward.
I couldn't agree more. And this is another question that we like to ask everyone. And if you don't, that's okay. But do you have a personal caregiving story or someone that is close to you, you know, where this issue does kind of hit home?
I would say, you know, I'm not nearly as personal as the senator's story, which I was so grateful that she shared. I learned about caregiving mostly, like I said, through my my mother's role and watching her as I was growing up. And then also my grandmother passed away in 2019. My grandpa passed away shortly before that, and watching my mother and my aunts navigate the caregiving world, and with you know, multiple siblings, even though you have one person who's technically in charge, everybody's helping. How do you coordinate that? How do you communicate that? And how do you make sure that you're honoring your loved one's wishes in the best way possible?
Well, and I love that you say that everyone's on board and everyone's helping, right? Because that isn't always the case in every family. And that's, you know, another show, a different day on how do we get everyone on board so this doesn't fall on the shoulders of one individual. And we like to ask that question because just everybody can think of a story or an experience, right, where they had a family member that was being taken care of. It just drives home the point that this really does impact everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. And so let's shift a little bit before we have to go to break about your role now as a legislator. There are many things in the current budget, from tax credits for caregivers, non-driver transportation initiatives, paid family leave. What do you think the government, you now, what do you think you all can do to best support family caregivers?
Well, I thought, you know, the senator mentioning that the additional funding for the ADRC is huge. Again, needing places for people to go so they can get those resources. But there's so many opportunities in this budget that we could highlight for ways that we can be supporting our caregivers. There's the creating the caregiver tax credit, because we know caregivers end up spending their own dollars to care for these family and friends. And it may not be intentional, but, you know, I remember having conversations with folks. You're out, you're going to get a toothbrush for the person you're caring for, socks, whatever it is, and you just pay for it. That adds up over time. So I think creating a caregiver tax credit would be extremely helpful. I think the paid family leave, allowing people to get that space to take time off to truly care for their family member, their sibling, whoever it is, you know, because that is so stressful, working a full-time job and then coming home and caregiving. And as I'm sure you've heard over and over in these conversations, there isn't a break from it unless you can pay for somebody to come in. And even then, you're thinking about what you need to do next. You're making sure, you know, scheduling doctor's appointments and all that is happening. So I think giving people that space to have that leave would be incredible. I also think providing the additional funding for the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Family and Caregiver Support Program would be helpful. We are only going to be seeing more and more of the needs for funding for caregiving. And so these are all different ways that I think we could be supporting our caregivers.
Thank you, Jenna, so much for the work that you do and helping us out and being here tonight. It was a real pleasure talking with you. When we come back, we're going to speak with registered dietitian Erin DeGrave from Hy-Vee Grocery Stores.
Thanks, Jenna.
Thank you.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.
At least 19 people were killed overnight in rural Mississippi after a powerful tornado and strong thunderstorms powered through the area. Sharkey County was hit hardest. At least 13 people died there. This man told ABC how he and his family barely made it to safety.
We tried to get ourselves into the middle part of the house, and we did, and we got in there, and obviously it was coming right behind us because as soon as we got in there, we heard a big boom.
Meanwhile, two people were killed. Nine others are missing after an explosion at a chocolate plant in West Reading, Pennsylvania. Cause of the blast is under investigation. President Biden, concluding his trip to Canada, confirmed he ordered an airstrike on Iranian-backed militants in Syria in retaliation for a strike on a coalition base Thursday that killed a U.S. contractor and injured six others. San Diego State beat Alabama in the NCAA tournament, and after Miami beat Houston, it means for the first time ever, no number one seeds are among the tournament's final 18. This is ABC News.
Oh, now wait until you pull up to the stop and go light. But when you do, go ahead and save the Civic Media station to one of your presets. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, and also on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Navnair. Here's what you need to know. For the first time in 45 years, there won't be a Breaks and Al's Run and Walk in downtown Milwaukee. The event dates back to legendary Marquette University basketball coach Al McGuire. The Children's Wisconsin Foundation is looking for feedback on how to create new and more inclusive events that could replace the run down the road. Participation has been on the decline in recent years. In 2019, there were 10,000 participants. Last year, after being canceled for 2 years because of the pandemic, participation down to 8,000. Over its 45-year run, the event has raised $22 million. A cyber attack launched this week against the Wisconsin court system's computer network. Court officials say users may have experienced spotty service or slower than normal response times. If you're having difficulties filing documents electronically, contact the clerk of court in your respective county. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
For retirement,
a message from AARP and the Ad Council.
On the Empowered Caregiver Show. Before we speak to our next guest, I want to remind everyone about our Powerful Tools for Caregiver course. This is a six-week, it's not going to be sick, I promise. No. We're all going to talk about how we can help people who are sick.
At least you didn't say sex.
That's true. I didn't this time. This is a 6-week course that Liza and I have been trained to facilitate and will be offering for free starting on Wednesday, April 12th. It's going to be virtual, so it's via Zoom, and we'll be starting at noon. If you would like to learn more about how to reduce stress, improve self-confidence, manage time, and effectively communicate your feelings, please go to empoweredcaregivercommunity.com and sign up with us today.
Yes. And now we are going to be talking with Erin DeGrave, who works with the Wisconsin Hy-Vee stores. Hi, Erin. Thank you for joining us. Let me start there. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you interested in being a dietitian and what exactly you do at Hy-Vee?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me on today. I'm so happy to be here and talking with the two of you. Like you both said, I'm a registered dietitian with Hy-Vee Grocery Store. So think about that, a dietitian right in your grocery store. How cool is that?
It definitely is.
I've been a dietitian for just over 4 years. And I really knew I wanted to be a dietitian when I was in high school. So really early on.
Wow.
And I knew I wanted to, I knew I loved eating healthy food. I was not that kid that push her peas to the side. My parents had no problem getting me to eat those fruits and vegetables.
Lucky them.
Very unusual.
And lucky you.
Yeah, lucky you, right? Yeah.
But I really also knew I wanted to help others, especially helping others to learn about nutrition and why we eat the food we do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I spent 4 years in public health before coming to Hy-Vee, and I love that public service.
That's wonderful. And what are some of the services that you provide specifically at the Hy-Vee stores?
Yeah, great question. So with Hy-Vee, we actually personalize just about everything. We have different services and programs geared towards everyone. So whether they're meal plans that you're looking for or a weight loss program, or you just want to do a medical nutrition therapy appointment and talk through maybe you have a new condition or developing condition that you really just want to manage with nutrition. So we do quite a bit at the grocery store. And one of the biggest things we're known for is our nutrition store tours. So walking a customer through the store and showing them different food options that they're not aware of.
And you know, I didn't think of this till right now, but are these services free?
Some are and some are paid. So
okay.
What I really enjoy doing is having a free 30-minute session with a client, a customer, and just talking through what they're looking for and how we can help and match it to their budget too.
Wonderful.
That's great. Now, I need to take a step back and just ask exactly what a dietitian is, how it differs from some of the other professionals like nutritionists or weight loss providers.
Yeah, great. Very important question that I don't think a lot of people know. So thank you for asking it. So a dietitian is the most certified nutrition professional with training in medical nutrition therapy and nutrition counseling. So we go through a bachelor's degree, a accredited supervised practice program, so like a 9 to 12 month unpaid internship, mm-hmm. and then we have to pass our national board exam. So
you're smart.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. All right, I want one of those free consultations, and then I want to get a tour and some of the other stuff that I can pay for.
Yeah, exactly. And what I'm really interested in learning about are some of the tips that would really help caregivers who are usually short on time and energy. How can they make healthy choices? And maybe what are some of the impacts of the not so healthy choices? I know a lot of us, or I don't know, maybe I just speak for myself and I'm throwing a lot of us out there for cover, but a lot of us end up going through the drive-through or mm-hmm. grabbing the microwave meals.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's not just caregivers. Everyone is busy, but I know with being a caregiver podcast, we're obviously very focused right. on that. But treat nutrition like you would any other treatment or any other way you're caring for someone else or for yourself. So first, make a plan if you can. So if you are, if you're prepared, if you're making that plan ahead, and it doesn't have to be perfect, it doesn't have to be this in-depth plan by any means, but it can incorporate maybe a couple home-prepared meals, and maybe even a meal or snack out on the go. If you are, you know you're going to be at appointments or you're going to be at different things throughout the day for yourself or for those that you care for. But if you're planning for it, you're going to make smarter choices regardless.
I like that. And I'm actually going to go off script here a little bit and get a little selfish, right? And so I am excited. I'm going to come and set up an appointment with you. And so let's talk through what's going to happen in that appointment and then what's going to happen next.
Sure. So our first consultation is always a get to know you. So I want to get to know what you're looking for and what you are trying to get out of a nutrition plan,
sure.
I guess, for mm-hmm. yourself, for whoever you're caring right. for. And then you get to know a little bit more about me and what I can provide to you at Hy-Vee with our services. So then we'll kind of talk through, okay, what can I give you today that mm-hmm. can help you start making that first step?
Sure.
And then what maybe is the next step for an appointment or for a new program?
Well, and so as you're talking about planning and that it doesn't have to be this big 6-week plan, I'm somebody who's struggled with weight my whole life. And so yeah. I've had tons of nutrition advice, probably not from a dietitian though. And that's what the problem's been, right? And it's these giant, huge plans that I fail within about 4 hours. And then I throw up my,
right.
arms mm-hmm. and say, forget it. I can't do diets. What I am looking for and what it sounds like you can be able to provide is some of that on the go advice, right? Walk me through the grocery store. This right. is going to be a great snack for you. This is going to be a great snack for Nicole because Nicole's picky about this, but she likes these kinds of things.
Exactly. And that's one of the best parts about being in the grocery store. I can walk you to that aisle, show you exactly what I'm talking about instead of showing you a picture and just bringing up that nutrition fact on my computer.
Excellent.
That makes perfect sense. And you know what? I'm going to ask a question kind of off script. Every show we kind of have these bullet points of things that we want to ask, right? And then the conversations happen and it all starts to make sense. When you're talking about the meal plan, and I'm going to be selfish and use this for myself.
I know.
So I have done that before, created like a weekly meal plan, right? And then it turns out I get to this day of the week and I'm not hungry for that. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm alone. So do you help people look for that? Do you have any suggestions?
Right.
What do you do if that's the case? I mean, has it ever happened to you?
Oh, absolutely. Me and my personal life as well. I can only do leftovers for a day, I swear.
Right.
And yeah. then I'm going to get mac and cheese out of the cupboard. So I yep. totally understand. And I really try to walk through my clients that and let them know that I'm here for any questions and speed bumps that they come into. So if that's the speed bump for the week, you know, we're going to talk about, okay, maybe we have a backup plan right. and have those nutritious options in the cupboard or in the fridge that you can go and grab. And maybe you're making a charcuterie board for yourself that night instead of having that leftover. And we talk about great things to put on that board.
Okay. They're looking at me like, why am I so excited? I'm so excited because first of all,
option?
Exactly. I'm always feeling bad when I'm like, okay, I'm just going to feed myself cheese and crackers and a little bit of fruit. And it's a charcuterie board yeah. and I can now feel like all cool and trendy that's what my dinner is.
Exactly. We awesome. Really focus on foods that can fuel your body, whatever that may be for you in that moment. So if that means some cheese and crackers and a little fruit on the side, then I'm all for it.
Excellent.
That's good. And I'm going to play that to my husband too, because he's always like, you know, cheese and cracker. That's not dinner, you know, but that's a good point. A lot of people think that dinner has to be these big, heavy
right.
meals.
Four course meals.
Yeah. Exactly. Right, your meat mm-hmm. and your potatoes and your vegetables.
Yes. Yeah. Well, which are good. But yeah.
You it's just very boring night after night after night, I
exactly.
think. So that's why I like
so
to mix it up a little bit.
Yes. Right. Yes. I love that. And, you know, caregivers take care of people with a wide range of medical needs. And I know you went into a little bit about your background, but what are some of the medical conditions that you are able to help address through nutrition?
Right. Like I said earlier, we're trained in medical nutrition therapy. So what that means is that we're helping to manage those chronic diseases and ailments that everyone may come into contact with, especially caregivers. So I'd say most commonly, you know, our diabetes, our heart disease, even food allergies, cancer, autism, and other, you know, other chronic disorders that, you know, everything involves food in some capacity.
Right. But now I think you're probably thinking what I'm thinking, right? She said autism.
Yep.
And we both have kids, young adults on the autism spectrum. So my ears perked right up. What can you expand on that? Nutrition
sure.
Addressing autism?
Yep. So definitely. And again, comes in all different forms. And autism is a spectrum. So it could just be food acceptance, getting kids to accept food being on their plate that they are not fond of. So it's working to go through those steps with a dietitian to say, hey, we tried this, it didn't work, what do we do next? Or it's just that support from the dietitian to say, as me saying, hey, you're doing the right things, and once you keep doing this, it may get better.
Well, and you know what? I know that both Kaden and Nicole are going to respond a lot better to Erin and how sweet and cute and positive she is than they're going to respond to you and me.
Right.
So yeah, that's great. I can also foresee that Nicole and I will be coming in. Yeah. I know we have Hy-Vee grocery stores here in Madison, but can you let listeners that are in other parts of the state, where else in the state are there Hy-Vee locations, and how can they get a hold of either you, or do all of them have a registered dietitian?
Sure. So I am the only dietitian in Wisconsin.
Okay.
But our services are virtual as well.
Nice.
So we are growing in Wisconsin. Those across the state probably know what I'm talking about, but we have stores here in Madison, Fitchburg, and Oregon. And we've opened up stores in Eau Claire, La Crosse, Green Bay, and Janesville. So we're very spread out, and yeah, you don't have to have a Hy-Vee near you to work with me or someone on our team with nutrition services.
How do people find you then?
Yeah, go to hyvee.com/health or find our health and pharmacy tab on our homepage on hyvee.com, and you just have to search for Wisconsin and find me.
That's excellent. Great.
Wonderful. And is there anything that we're missing or that you want to, the microphone is yours. What else can we share with listeners?
Yeah. Biggest thing is there's so much misinformation out there that us as Hy-Vee dietitians want to be your go-to nutrition experts and just dietitians in general. So be aware of where you're getting information from. Take everything with a grain of salt. And if you need someone to just kind of talk through what you're reading or if it's right or if it's going to help, schedule an appointment and ask those questions. And we even have a chat feature right on our electronic health records, I guess, or our system, where you can ask questions anytime.
Can you schedule an appointment right online then?
Yes, you can.
Okay, wonderful. And then I had one other question for you that kind of escaped me at the moment. Oh, diets. Do you have training or knowledge? I mean, there's so many diets out there. I can't even keep track of
paleo,
how many.
Paleo, keto.
Oh, don't even.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
It's too late in the night to even start rattling off the diets. But what is your experience, or how do you deal with people looking to go a certain route, a certain diet?
I always dive into the research first, really looking at research, evidence-based reasons to follow certain diets, and if they're evidence-based in general. So I always start there, and then if someone wants to be on a keto diet, I walk through, okay, here are the pros, here are the cons, what are we really trying to get out of this, and how can this diet help you and support you long term? If it can't, I might have a different suggestion, and if you're willing to and open to more ideas and suggestions, right, I'm happy to share those.
You can only lead a horse to water, right?
But
yes.
You can't make a drink.
Yes. Right. So, Erin, if you don't mind, I would love for you to hang out with us and give the opportunities for callers to call in if they have any questions that they would like to ask Erin. Our number is 844-967-2789.
Want to say it one more time?
844-967-2789.
Woohoo.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Cloudy skies expected today with a chance for snow changing to rain. High temperatures reach up to 38. Northerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight lows dip down to about 25. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow daytime highs approaching 43. 1 to 3 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 31.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
Milwaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Liza Hellenbrand and Kristen Voss. If you have questions that you would like to ask for our in-house dietitian for the moment, Erin DeGrave from the Hy-Vee stores, please just give us a call now at 844-967-2789.
Liza?
Yes?
There was so much information that just came out in this show tonight, right? I mean, we, like I said, we walked from politicians to dietitians. We walked from a senator that's got tons of veteran experience to somebody who is a newbie, quote unquote. What'd you get out of it all?
Yeah, we are all over the place,
yeah.
Right? I loved how LaTanya Johnson
Johnson
could share her personal story and what she went through. You know, when you're advocating for something, obviously, you know, when you've gone through it and you've experienced it, you know, firsthand what it's like. So Milwaukee area residents are lucky to have her on their side.
Yeah, I really enjoyed from her the point about when she was giving advice to Jenna about you have to know what you want to advocate for, but you also have to know what your constituents need. And I was like, oh, I'm so happy she said that. Like, that is exactly what I wanted to hear out of a legislator, is that they are being motivated by what their constituents need and want, because that is their job. They're there to represent us.
Yep, yep. She got an A+ for that, because I remember saying, like, why are we asking? Why do you want to ask this question? I didn't quite get it, but yeah, they're there to represent the constituents, and I think LaTanya does a great job. And Jenna, I'm sure her head is spinning with everything that's, you know, she's taken in being new, but her personal experience and seeing that, I'm sure, with in a church congregation.
Me.
Thank you.
Yep.
There were a lot of
up close and personalist
stories. Yeah.
See, now I can't do it. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And what I appreciated from her conversation too was that she really knows some of the stuff in the budget. She was able to really identify some of the specific stuff that needs to be attended to from this budget proposal. And so I appreciated that she recognized that, and Alzheimer's specifically, which was nice since LaTanya had just shared that that's what had impacted her family.
Yes. She's doing her homework for sure. And I am so happy that we have Erin DeGrave from the Hy-Vee stores with us today. If you have a question for her, you have just a few minutes, give a call 844-967-2789. And I loved that Erin actually reached out to us to let and bless her heart for doing that, because I would have never known. I would have never known. So that was wonderful that she was proactive and thoughtful of caregivers and felt, you know, or feels like she has a service to provide, which I absolutely agree that she does.
Absolutely. And I think those of people that are out there listening, and you can see yourself as having a professional or a personal opportunity or story to share with us and other caregiving listeners, great. Reach out like she did. It was awesome. You see that we respond. And yes. I don't want you to try to get the next or first available appointment with Erin before me. I am not kidding. We are definitely, Nicole and I are going there.
Well, because you're going on vacation and I will be I will be here. So good luck with that, but we'll see. But no, I would love some help. I think we all, you know, they say the freshman 15, but I've been calling it the COVID-19. The COVID-19, in that's about what I gained over COVID, right? Mm-hmm. So I am really looking for some things on how I can clean up my diet. So I can't wait to meet with Erin as well. So feel free to give us a call if you want to have a question for her. Why not? We got a dietitian at your service right now. But before, go ahead and call. But I want to also make sure, just get to give out the reminder about our 6-week Powerful Tools for Caregiver course that is going to be coming up starting April 12th. You can register on our website, empoweredcaregivercommunity.com. And I think we have about a half a dozen spots open. So register today.
And I think what's going to be really motivating for folks is if they tune in next week, they're going to hear us talking with two employers from the Iowa State University who actually head up the Powerful Tools for Caregivers course. One of them was our trainer, right? Mm-hmm. And she was so engaging and bubbly and passionate about the project. So I can't wait to have an interview with her. And then the other woman is the brain, not that the first isn't the brains, but she's the researcher, yeah, is what I'm trying to say. So it'll be really interesting to hear what she has to say about how it's so evidence-based.
Yes. Yeah. And I love the clarification that they can give, that, like you said, that it is evidence-based. It's not just Kristen and I saying, okay, what you need to do is take a bubble bath. You know, they have a very detailed curriculum with very specific things, for lack of a better word, that
tools.
The tools, thank you. Oh, well, it's in the name. Mm-hmm. That you can take to ease some of the stress that goes along with caregiving.
And I think what it's going to be really interesting to learn more about in our opportunity to teach people this course is going to be the communication piece, right? So that self-care is something that, you know, we do. I think I'm going to go home and pour a glass of wine and maybe have a bubble bath tonight because I feel like I need it. But I also know that really what's going to do the long haul for me in terms of self-care is going to be figuring out better ways to communicate with Nicole and better ways to communicate with the people that are on Team Nicole, because Nicole and Mom really need a vacation. And so we are going to take a spring break, and it's going to help both of us kind of reboot and be able to interact and communicate better with one another, as well as with other members of Team Nicole.
Yeah, and I'm going to go home and make a charcuterie board, if I'm saying that right, because that can be dinner too, you know.
Exactly.
And I just, and then I'm going to bed because I have a long day tomorrow. I'm going to be part of the Survival Coalition event that's taking place on the Capitol, where we are going to have some training, and then we're going to get together and go and speak with our legislators and advocate for some of these caregiver issues. So I'm practicing what I'm preaching, right?
Exactly. And I think it's also wonderful that you're going to be taking Caden,
yes,
right? So a lot of who's organized, Survival Coalition is organizing the big day, but one of the groups is the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. Mm-hmm. We have been fortunate enough to partner with them and collaborate for some of our shows, monthly being a time where they can share some of their viewpoints. But we were able to go to their 50th anniversary, mm-hmm, which was really fun today.
see some of our peeps and hear about all of their plans for setting people up tomorrow for Disability Advocacy Day. It was great to see some of the adults that have developmental disabilities cheer and get excited about how tomorrow they're going to be able to get trained and go visit their legislators yes. and share some of their thoughts.
And that, and I just want to point out, it's not just for those with disabilities. I mean, caregiving is, you know, and impacts a lot of people. And on that note, we know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting. So that's why we want to end on a positive note. You got this.
And together we are stronger. So stay connected to the empowered caregiver community.
Have a nice night.
Good night, everyone.
As the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.